fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. If my voice sounds a little weird, it's because, we're having some of the highest mold counts of 2019 here in Austin, Texas. And that combined with the GMO, combined with the, fluoride in the water, which I do filter out, but not when I shower, and everything else that is attacking us, it could be Wi-Fi, it could be anything, has really taken a toll on me. But it hasn't stopped my fight. And today I want to focus on what's going on in Virginia. We saw in New York State the buildings lit up, the legislatures there agreed, we're jumping around with glee that they get to, now kill babies up to 6 months in the womb. Well, Virginia is like, hold my beer. Kathy Tran is a state delegate, and she admits, you got to watch this video. So we're going to play this video. She wants to have abortion up to the 40th week of pregnancy. Nothing's good enough for these people. They want to murder your children, literally. And they're targeting minorities. So if you're a minority out there, this should really concern you because you're the ones getting targeted. Blacks are 30% of the abortions and like 15% of the population. That should concern you. It might even be worse than that. Anyway, let's go to this video. This is Kathy Tran.
Delegate Tran.
Yes, sir.
How late in a pregnancy would your bill apply if a physician was simply willing to certify that the continuation of the pregnancy would impair the mental health of the woman? How late are we talking about?
So the way the suggestion that we've made in the bill is to say it's in the third trimester and at the with the certification of the physician. So
how late in the third trimester would you be able to do that?
It's very unfortunate that our physicians, witnesses, were not able to attend today to speak specifically.
No, I'm talking about your bill. How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
Or physical health.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about the mental health.
Through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay, but to the end of the third trimester.
Yep, I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
So, where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would
make. I understand
that.
I'm asking you if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
I mean, they just want to kill babies. They're not going to be happy. This is what I can't understand why. You'd think they'd want to have these babies and then suck out their blood, because that's what they're doing now, is taking the blood of the young, and they're setting up clinics all over the country to do that. But you have to ask yourself, what kind of person wants to kill babies? And there she is. That's the kind of person right there. Kathy Tran, at Kathy, KLTRAN, state delegate of Virginia. So New York was up to 6 months. They're going up to a year. Now, when we get back, we're going to have Robert Barnes here in studio. But I'm also going to play this video of the governor of Virginia. He's like, yeah, well, sounds reasonable. Sounds reasonable to kill these babies. They're literally possessed with the spirit that we saw yesterday in that video from the doctor who recently died.
I love killing kids. I kill my kids. I kill my kids.
So these people want to do. We'll be right back. You're watching The War Room. Infowars.com/show is a free stream to send out to everybody you know.
Yeah. abortion supporters routinely attend pro-life rallies and attempt to bully activists. If you have a problem and need a smelly group of commie devil worshippers, maybe you can call the A-Team.
How many did I adopt? I kill my kids.
I kill my kids.
Hey, we saw your Facebook with your communist hammer and sickle. That's pretty cool, man. Is that you on the Facebook? Is there a Facebook page of you with a hammer and sickle?
I don't think so.
I don't have children. I love Satan.
How do you get your abortions paid for?
I pay for them.
I thought
really?
You said
how many do you pay for?
Upwards of 50.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You, you piece of
bunch of misogynistic mother. Take your male privilege somewhere else.
Stop it, you're being aggressive.
I'm being aggressive.
Pardon us! Excuse us! Wow! Watch out!
These, that's the guys that attack Alex Jones.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
And that's just a little piece we put together. When we go out and, you know, protest what's going on in these abortion clinics, especially when they're trafficking children's body parts, you know, we try to speak up for the ones that can't speak up. Because that's what you're supposed to do when you have, you know, I guess when you're a cis white male and you got all this power, right? Robert Barnes, I got Robert Barnes with me in studio. Last segment, we played a video of a Virginia congresswoman. I think she's a state delegate named Kathy Tran, who has a bill that would allow abortion to be performed up to 40 weeks. Okay? And I don't even know what your thoughts are on abortion. But this has outraged a lot of people. A lot of people are saying, wow, I didn't know I was a conservative until now. And that's becoming a trend. Now, here's the governor of Virginia. And, you know, a couple of days ago, New York was celebrating they can do it up to 6 months. And they're like, oh, 6 months, boom, we're going to get the babies. And everybody's celebrating, and they lit up the building, I think the World Trade Center, pink. And what it makes me say is, when did women's health become killing babies? Like, why is killing babies equated with women's health? And that's what they've tried to turn that debate into. And so now I want to play this clip and then get your take on it. This is the Virginia governor talking about if the baby's born and they still want it, and it's born alive, what they're going to do to this baby if they don't want it. This is pretty sick, people talking like this. But this is who you voted for, Virginia. This is what you get. So let's play that clip.
You're no exception. There was a very contentious committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions, as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you, first thing I would say is this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, you know, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
And do you think multiple physicians should have to weigh in, as is currently required? She's trying to lift that requirement.
Well, I think it's always good to get a second opinion and for at least two providers to be involved in that decision, because these decisions shouldn't be taken lightly. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, I would certainly support more than one provider.
All right. Let's go back to the phones now.
Well, there's a glimmer of hope. You know, he thinks maybe two doctors should be available to say, yeah, let's kill the baby. You know, I wonder if one of them's maybe the organ harvester. Is that the other one that says it's good to go? Let's harvest these organs. I mean, it's a crazy world we're living into, and you're part of it. You've seen a lot of this. You know, not this, but like the insanity that's going on around us right now.
Yeah, no question. Really, what this shows is this goes back to old school sterilization techniques from the 20s and 30s. Where they were targeting people based on their socioeconomic standing, based on their racial background, based on whether or not a child might have Down syndrome, whether you might have mental retardation. It is horrifying that here you have a guy, a governor, just sort of greenlighting, hey, you know, the kid's got some mental health or physical health issues. Let's just kill him before he comes into the world. It's horrifying. And even my liberal friends who are pro-choice recognize that the medical consensus is that there is both brain activity and heart activity, which are the measurements we use to determine whether someone is alive or not in terms of when they're in their 70s or 80s, if they're on a sort of a comatose status. If there's both brain activity and heart activity, you're not allowed to pull the plug. Well, why are you allowed to pull the plug when they're at 6 months? Or 7 months or 8 months, when there's clearly brain activity, when there's clearly heart activity going on, simply because the kid may be handicapped? This is where liberalism is going. It's going to the place where it's okay to kill and murder handicapped babies. I mean, that's just a horrifying sort of, it's the recreation of the old sterilization movement, which, by the way, was the original inspiration for much of what the Nazis did. They gave credit and gave credence to the sterilization movement as the true origins of their own corrupt ideology.
And I think of, there's the guy out there. You guys might even be able to find his videos. He's got no arms or legs. He's got these little flippers. And he's a motivational speaker. And you listen to this guy talk, and you're like, he's fully functioning brain, intellect. He's able to do a lot of things that, you know, other people won't do. He gets up in front of talk and talks in front of people. I know people in this building who are afraid to get up on camera and talk. Yet he does it. And it's like, oh, well, his life's worth nothing. We're just going to determine that. When now this guy's going around and being an inspiration to millions of people. So, oh yeah, there's a video too that they brought it was a Dutch TV show, and they brought this guy with Down syndrome on and told him how much he's going to cost Dutch taxpayers. And this kid's like, well, geez, what? You know, I'd not expected that. You know, it just poor guy, he has Down syndrome and they're trying to make him feel like he's worthless. And it just goes back to, what kind of society do we want to be? Do we want to be a society that literally eats our children and drinks their blood and does that? I mean, we've seen societies like that in the past. They didn't go anywhere. They met really bad endings. So maybe if we do go down, when we do go down that path, we will meet the same ending. And maybe maybe that's what they want anyway. Some of these people, they want to see that.
You know, I was exposed for the first time to the horrors of sort of the Planned Parenthood ideology when I was at Yale. So I, with Justice Breyer's daughter at the time, we sponsored a debate discussion and dialogue discussion, and a Planned Parenthood leader was part of that, was the one who introduced it. And he came in and spoke, and we were all having dinner later, and I had a different political perspective than he did, but apparently he was unaware of that fact. Mm-hmm. So he starts talking to me, and he starts telling me, the assumptions he made were shocking. Because what he sits there and says, he says, have you ever looked at where the population problem is a problem?
Yeah.
And I realized, oh my goodness, this man literally is talking openly to a person he just met who just assumes he shares his values, that he wants to limit the number of African-Americans in African lives, the number of Asian-Americans in Asian lives around the world. And that is shocking, that is horrifying, that is terrifying. And sadly, that's some of the ideology that you're seeing. You're seeing an ideology that is not universally humanitarian,
yeah.
Respecting all life everywhere, no matter your medical condition, no matter your race, no matter your religion, no matter your gender.
These are blood-sucking demons we're fighting against. We'll be right back. Robert Barnes, lawyer for the Covington High School kids, coming right up. Infowars.com/show.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
We're back here live on the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Owen Schroyer is going to be joining me later, and I imagine Roger Stone will too, as they are running around up in our nation's capital trying to get the word out of what is really going on with the Mueller investigation. I'm joined here in studio with Robert Barnes, lawyer for the Covington Kids. You may remember that it was another manufactured story. And I want to go over this one that looks like it's manufactured. I think we've been able to stomp it out. The people on Twitter have, at least, before it got out of control. But it's weird. These blue checkmark people are the ones that seem to push these narratives. We saw it with the Covington kids. It was all blue checkmarks saying, look at how bad these kids are. We got to go after them. And they even got some conservatives to join their ranks for a brief time. Like, how dare they do that to that Indian, you know, because nobody wants to be disrespectful to their elders, right?
Sure.
I mean, and I've watched the video. In fact, I put out a long video over the weekend called The True Story of the Covington Kids, a full documentary, and it takes from the stream of the Black Hebrew Israelites, it's 2 hours long, and I just basically cut out all, for 23 minutes, it's them cussing out the Indians, cussing out white people, calling a Catholic priest a pedophile, yelling at those kids, calling them crackers and peckerwoods. I mean, on, and calling them incest babies, just over and over again. Yet nobody's ever looking at the Black Hebrew Israelites saying, what was their role in this? It's like they get a free pass.
Exactly. It was clear intended provocation. And then you have Nathan Phillips, the Native American involved, who accuses the kids of saying stuff that actually the Black Hebrew Israelites were saying.
Build the wall.
They were saying build the wall.
They were the ones saying build the wall.
They were saying things like Uncle Tomahawk. Mm-hmm. They were doing the racial slurs. They were doing all of that. And he pretends they weren't, and he was there to protect these poor Black Hebrew Israelites, who are some of the craziest, kookiest, most racist nut jobs on the planet, from these terrifying, awful, atrocious, nice little Catholic school kids who clearly are the next coming of the Klan. It was just one big fraud from the beginning to end. It was a fabrication from beginning to end. I was about to board a plane to go down to Mexico for a little vacation for MLK holiday, a little town called Bucerías. Nice town.
Okay.
And I see the story and I'm like, oh, that's an obviously bogus story. And the reason I told friends later, it'd be like if I saw a story that said lefty teenage kids go down to rural Alabama, surround a blue collar country bar and taunt the elder.
Right.
I was like, no.
It's not going to happen.
I don't think so. There's zero chance. That around lefty protest culture.
Right.
And every media member knew that story was fake.
Yeah.
Media deals with the Black Hebrew Israelites more than anybody, and they get called every bad, horrible name in the book. Jonathan Capehart, who still went and attacked the kids for Washington Post, admitted that he used to walk across the street just to avoid the Black Hebrew Israelites. So you have, they know the facts, they know what the truth is, they know what the honest, objective truth is, and instead they try to, what I call Ray Donovan it. You know, the whole Ray Donovan is really not really a fictional story. He's a real character of a kind in Hollywood. He's a fixer in New York in political culture, and they come up with fake stories to cover for bad things.
Right.
And the Chicago story, as soon as it came out, the Empire story, had that kind of ring to it, had that kind of connotation to
it. And let's bring people up to date, because they might not even know this story exists, because it kind of is blown up over the last, you know, day. Jussie Smollett tells cops attacked by MAGA country, or shouted MAGA country, Empire calls in armed security. So he says he was attacked by people who were calling this MAGA country in Chicago, downtown Chicago, at 2 a.m. He was supposedly attacked, beat up by these white men.
In MAGA hats, supposedly.
In MAGA hats, in what, 20 degree weather, minus 20 degree weather.
Yeah.
They poured bleach on him and put a noose around his neck. And then he apparently had the police saw the rope. He had the rope with him at some point. So he kept the rope to show him, oh, they had it around my neck. So this is 2:42 a.m. And TMZ runs with this. They say there's some, if you see that, you guys can maybe, oh, sorry, there you go. Come back on this. You look at this envelope that was supposedly sent to him. And this red marker, and you know, we're going to get you black fag is what they call him. Now, Chicago's a pretty liberal city. I mean, that's where Barack Obama comes from. I find it very hard to believe that this guy's walking around at 2 a.m. There's other guys walking around in MAGA hats coming after him. And then the story keeps changing. Now police can't find video, but you got the blue check marks running around telling everybody they have to repent, that white men are evil. So they're trying to build another story. It's like that we couldn't get them with the Covington kids. And by the way, if you watch the end of the video that the American Indians put out, Nathan Phillips at the end says, let's make America great. And then he walks away. And there's some little disagreements there about, you know, about what that means. But there was no, he wasn't like, I'm offended. Oh, you know, he was just, all right, I did my thing. I'm trying to break up whatever the scuffle that the Black Hebrew Israelites were causing. And he was trying to dissuade that, whatever. So then they went and looked at that video and was like, oh, we could put out this 30 seconds and make it look like these kids are racist. And they're like, yeah, he's wearing a MAGA hat. We got a racist. So they went with it. But at the end, at the very end of this, and it's a video they put out on their Vimeo site, you can watch it, and he says, okay, let's make America great. And then they part ways. There's no, and nobody's cussing at anybody. Nobody's yelling at anybody. It's just like, all right, cool. We're getting on the bus. We're heading out. See you later. And then at the end, the black Hebrew Israelites get questioned by the cops, and they go, no, we're just having dialogues. It's all good. That's what they consider having a dialogue, is cussing people out, calling them tomahawks and all that. So it's just, it's wild. But it just shows you how this leftist media is trying to find any narrative, any story they can twist to do this. How do we stop them from doing this? And are they ever going to be held responsible? I know you're trying to hold them, some of the people responsible in this. But then when there's no victim, because like these, who are these MAGA guys that are being blamed? They're nameless. But what do we go? What do we do about that?
Exactly. There's really the only way to do it is to counteract it with truth.
Yeah.
And that's why they want to suppress and censor and shame institutions like InfoWars, is to prevent third-party independent media who voices dissident opinions from the political and press establishment from being able to voice those opinions, from being able to express those opinions, from being able to share those truths so that the audience can decide what's true and what's not. InfoWars doesn't decide what's true or what's not. The audience does. And they don't want the audience to make that determination. They only want them to hear one side. It'd be like being in a trial and they only want to hear the government side, not allow the defense lawyer to talk, and not to be able to expose both sides, to be able to have you, the jury, the public jury, determine what is true, what is honest, what is accurate, what needs to be done. And that's why these stories are told. That's why they're run with. And what's ironic is you have all of the, you have like, whether it's Homeland on Showtime or Ray Donovan or these other shows, they're happy to fictionalize, or even Blindspot or shows like Blacklist, to fictionalize the dangerous nationalist and the dangerous Trumpist, or even shows like The Punisher, you know, the dangerous conservative.
Right.
What they should have been doing is the actual fake news or these kind of stories.
Yeah.
If I was in the Ray Donovan business and my client was caught doing something, let's say, unfortunate and embarrassing, I would come up with a story like this. I mean, it'd be a great story to circulate, right?
And these fake hate attacks are happening all over the place. People are saying, oh, someone sprayed the N-word on my dorm room, and it turned out to be that person. You know, we're hearing that over and over again. It's like we're trying to create a race problem that, I admit, there's definitely some racism in the United States. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. But it's not as pervasive as these people want to say. I think most people want to get along. Most people want to exchange money, exchange ideas, and go on about their life. They don't want to go and get in other people's business.
Correct. Exactly. Most people believe in universal humanitarianism.
Yeah.
They believe in respecting each human being based on them being a human being, regardless of their mental status, regardless of whether they have Down syndrome or not, regardless of whether they're African American, Latino, white, doesn't matter. Black, brown, red, yellow, or white, everybody's beautiful in God's sight, a little song I sung when I was a kid. And I think most Americans are that way, and that scares them, actually, because
that
means there's no tool, no means to power. If you're the sort of lefty professional class, the problem is you're 15% of the population at most. How do you win elections?
Right.
How do you control minds, and you get people to think they're under threat that aren't under threat. You get people to feel that the other side wants to harm them. And by doing so, you can convince them to vote a certain way, enact certain cultural politics that you want, think a certain way. It's all about mind and thought control in the end.
That's really what it is. And they've got a whole generation of millennials thinking they're going to die in 12 years.
Yeah.
And it's sad because, let me tell you, the Earth's been through a lot. It's been through a lot more than we could ever do to it. And I like what George Carlin says. Maybe the Earth just wanted plastic.
Yeah.
That's a new paradigm, the Earth plus plastic. All right, we'll be right back. You're going to stay with me for another segment? All right, we got Robert Barnes for another segment at least, and Owen Schroer will be popping in as well. You're watching The War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Making talk radio great again.
This is The War Room
with Owen Schroer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Alex Jones.
But there's a lot of controversy around this network about Alex Jones.
Google is being accused of hiding negative stories about Hillary and her campaign by changing its algorithm to bury stories like the Clinton body count story. That's according to website InfoWars.
It sounds like it's confirmed there are at least two shooters with fully automatic weapons.
Dr. Martin Luther King has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
JFK was shot from the back and the front.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
I think this is a national security imperative. We have clear things that we do not understand how they work, operating in areas that we can't control.
UFOs.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bank is in charge.
Israel claims the attack was accidental, but some former U.S. naval officers say it was on purpose. They describe the day's action as part of a continuing cover-up.
Russian intelligence compiled a dossier on Mr. Trump during visits to Moscow.
Russian scum!
Denied everything. He called it all fake news.
And he accused CNN of being fake news.
This is a national emergency.
If they kill Trump or remove Trump, it will cause a massive civil war in this country.
This is a FEMA high-level alert.
We are at war with Russia.
Are you aware that Mr. Stone also stated publicly that he was in direct communication with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks?
The White House and the President are citing InfoWars.
When I say my body, my choice for a vaccine, I'm the crazy person.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Show note, anytime the liner's done, you can take me live. Because I'm ready to go. Sore throat and all. It's not stopping me. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Joining me is Robert Barnes. We're just watching that intro there that we played. If you're watching this on TV, which you can watch the free streams at InfoWars.com/show, something I like to send out there as we're going to break every time. That's our free stream. We don't charge you for it. We don't ask for your email. We don't do anything. We just say, here's our free stream. Here's our information. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what we do. Because we want to give you information that you can use in your everyday life. Because you got to fight, you got battles at the water cooler. You got battles on the roads. You got battles with your spouse. You got battles with your kids. You're constantly being battling. And you got to have information in which to defend yourself. So that's what we promote. We promote, self-sustainability. We don't want people begging for help. We want you to empower yourself. So that's what we do here. And during this, we were watching some of those look like the fake attempts on Trump's life where they saw the one guy and the guys grabbed him and Trump runs. And so tell people what you were saying there, what that looked like. That was a probe or something, what they were trying to do.
I mean, I think because of the history of what happened in the 1960s, there's a broad belief within certain segments of the population, the public, that is skeptical of whether or not people that have a lot of disproportionate power within the institutional hierarchy of the government would allow a true democratic election and allow somebody that's truly inside, truly outside the system to be able to become part of the ultimate insider in the system in terms of the presidency. And so I think all of that sort of scared them and made them nervous. And so when people saw things that look like attempts to replicate or to see what security weaknesses were present or to look like the possibility of the assassination of a public figure, like they witnessed back to back to back between John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King, I think it brought back those memories. And it brought back, is that what's happening? Is that what they're looking at? Is that what they're attempting to do? Are they trying to probe security weaknesses, trying to probe what the public reaction would be if some horrible event like that happened? And it felt like that, and it looked like that. And then it turned out they were spying on his campaign the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reaffirmed a lot of doubts and skepticism people had. How much of our government is no longer controlled by democratic forces, little d democratic forces? How much of our government is now controlled by institutional hierarchy and this, sort of the deep state? The idea of the deep state was a very non-controversial concept and was first introduced in the 1870s by a writer for The Economist who simply called it the dual state. And then in the 1930s, a lot of German scholars who fled Germany were trying to figure out, how did fascism arise so quickly? How did it seize power? How did communism rise so quickly? How did it seize power? And they attributed it in large part to the dual state. They said what was happening was an administrative machinery with control over law enforcement, control over military.
A parallel government.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the effect of it, and we started to sort of gain more public consciousness of this. And then when people saw crazy things in the 1960s, later exposed by the Church Committee, Frank Church, the reason why he created the Church Committee, he was one of the first U.S. senators and U.S. politicians to ever be spied on by the NSA. So he had a little bit of payback coming. And so, but until that was all publicly exposed, because there weren't InfoWars in 1940, 1950, 1960s.
Right.
There might be a few newsletter writers, those kind of folks out in the hinterlands, but nobody that had the institutional influence of InfoWars to be able to constantly raise questions that needed to be asked. And consequently, a lot of horrifying and terrifying things took place during that time period until they were exposed. And now we find out the same thing happened again in 2016.
Well, and here's the thing I think too. You look at all the phones that people have. I think that was a test too. How many people were going to get this on video? How many different angles were we going to see? Is there a weak spot in that? Is there something we can exploit there? So we know a Trump rally, there's probably going to be 10,000 cameras. You know, where can we put things where they won't be seen?
Oh, exactly. I mean, what was interesting is for years, the sort of the Einstein Institute out of Boston was training people that were doing a lot of those color revolutions in Central Europe, the Velvet Revolution, the Rose Revolution, the Orange Revolution. And he was teaching them, he was a former U.S. military intel guy, that there's really five pillars of power. There's the four pillars of power everybody knows about, but the fifth pillar of power is the perception that the other four pillars of power have power. He goes, the perception of power matters more than anything. So they're always constantly looking at how the public narrative is going to shape. How's the public narrative going to act? How's it going to react? That's part of what the Covington story is. That's part of what the Chicago story is. That's part of what the apparent attempted assassination threats were. Constant to a measurement of what the public opinion is. It's like we're all one in one big, huge petri dish, which are being constantly measured by those with disproportionate influence and institutional power within the deep state, dual state operation that exists to see what we'll tolerate, what we'll accept, what we'll push back, what we'll fight, what we will resist.
And they need the social media apparatus to collect and disseminate that information so it's searchable.
Correct.
How else are you going to find all this if everybody's got their own independent website and they're throwing stuff out? It would take you years, but now you can go on Facebook, search a couple hashtags and go, okay, now we have 90% of what is out there concerning a certain topic.
Absolutely. You have constant real-time testing. So, for example, Facebook for years has been looking at manipulating elections. And so it popped up with an Iceland government official, got a message to vote. From on her Facebook page. She thought, that's a little odd. I wonder if everybody got this. She starts doing an investigation, and they're Icelanders, so they're always eclectic and independent. Yeah. And she finds out that only a certain percentage of the people got this. Cool. And she starts to wonder, okay, couldn't this manipulate people? And so, in fact, a great scholar, a great professor, started looking at this because he got targeted and harassed by Facebook. And he started doing detailed studies. And he showed how just the way Google, for example, wants to rank stories can influence up to 10 to 20% of the vote. Twitter can do the same thing. Facebook can do the same thing. So it's constant social control to the degree they can slowly script what you think without you knowing what you think. And their problem is the black swans, is the Neos in the Matrix, like the InfoWars. InfoWars presents a problem for them. That's why they need to compress it. They need to oppress it, suppress it, censor it, and shame it and make people feel bad about even looking at it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the goal. That's the objective. It's. I always say that if you really believe that an idea is right or wrong, then test it in public marketplace. That's the best place to test an idea. If you like it or dislike it, that's where you can listen to it. That's where you can disagree with it. That's where you can engage it. And the system is designed to suppress that. Us from even exercising our faculties of reason and logic, because they just want us to think in a robotic way that's deferential. That's what, I mean, Orwell was himself a socialist, and yet he became very anti-socialism. Why? Well, he always made a joke. He said the worst part of socialism is socialist. But his whole point was ultimately exposed and led to 1984, because he was a guy who wanted to believe in that better world, but he saw the kind of people trying to create it were incredibly dangerous. And that's the same thing that's true today. So the same degree of mind control, thought control, social control, idea control through these fake, planted, created, fabricated narratives meant to influence and manipulate us emotionally and psychologically at a deep, deep level. And we just need to constantly resist it in order to keep our minds free. Make speech free.
I totally agree, because if not, we're looking at that 1984 Apple commercial. That's where we're going to be, being told what to say on telescreens. We open the medicine cabinet, what's wrong? That's the future if we don't stand up now. Because it's not going to, there's no way out once you get to that point.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Thankfully, no. I don't get sick much.
That's good.
Yeah, lucky. You're lucky.
We live?
I'm a total wuss, but I do get
all right. Just having some break talk in between the breaks. There's talk that goes on. It's always interesting. Some of it's personal, some of it's political. We're sharing it all with you on the air when we come back. You know, it's Alex has come in here twice and talked with us. But mainly, me and Alex are both going through the same thing. I don't know, maybe it's an age thing, because we're both the same age. And it could be something where we're just at that age where, you know, the vaccines have kicked in and they're taking us out. That could be it. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be fine in a couple weeks. Maybe sooner. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks for joining us here on The War Room. You can follow me on Twitter at Dews News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z. Got a lot of Twitter followers after tweeting Owen Schroyer's incident yesterday where he was trying to interview a guy, puts the mic up in his face, you know, talking to him, puts the mic over so he can talk. The guy bites his windscreen off and then like shoves it in his nose, shoves it in his pants, shoves it in the tailpipe of a car, eats it. Bizarre behavior. Very, very bizarre behavior. And people are like, well, you know, should I file a report against this guy? I think he should, even though it does seem kind of trivial. But it's like, if we did that, here you can see this is the guy, this is how close he is. And he's getting close to him saying, calling him a Nazi, a young Nazi, getting right in his face, invading his personal space. He's trying to lick his phone screen. And then right there, boom, he eats the phone. It's in his mouth. Like, he's, what a weirdo.
Well, I mean, the guy does have like a giant rat on the back of his car. So
that's true. That's true. That may say a lot. That may say a lot.
Basically, he's going around with the big advertisement saying, I'm insane. Please look at me. I'm insane.
Exactly.
And then he just proved it in very demonstrative manner in his interaction.
They certainly did. But this is really bringing up, this Trump thing has really brought him out of the woodwork. Because I think they thought everything was fine with Obama and that the country's going in a great place, even though we had horrible economic growth. We saw, you know, the stock market kind of go up a little bit towards the end. But, you know, Trump really has turned on the jets to the economy. And I think the people don't want that because the Democrats want people with the hand out. They don't want to give them a hand up.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that what you have is so much of sort of certain part of the population believed in their own worldview that the world had accepted it. People liked Obama personally. They never really accept Obamaism. No. A lot of his ideological structure was never very popular. And so a lot of this is part of the sort of Trump derangement syndrome just fully came out. One of the greatest things about Trump's election is it exposed how nutty some of the parts of our political electorate are. It also exposed how corrupt some members of the media and the deep state are. Yep. We likely wouldn't have, if Hillary had been elected.
We would never know this.
Absolutely.
I mean, we know it was corrupt, but we wouldn't have the examples that we could point to and say, look, you know, the prime minister dumped the fish food in. Trump wasn't the only one who did it. It's like lie after lie. And that's just one of the little lies, but it's like one of the easiest ones. The Covington boys is another lie. There's just so many lies that they keep building on. And then they want to go around and say, we're going to determine what's fake news and what's not. They have this verified thing now, you know, instead of a blue check mark, you get a green check mark. And now it's check marks. Everything's a check mark. I mean, it literally is like going back to primary school and getting, you know, but now these green check mark stories are all proven false, but they still have green check marks. They won't remove them. It's crazy.
Absolutely. What's fascinating is instead of being sort of grouping together to fight the bullies, they group together to protect the bullies. They group together to reward the bullies. They get, as long as you're bullying the right people.
Right.
If you're politically bullying the right, if you're the independent, I mean, when people like Dave Rubin, who's very much center right, he's not, you know, nobody would call Dave Rubin radical by any stretch of the imagination. Very much a centrist personality. He's been on the left. He's been on the right. He has a libertarian orientation. He really just likes to hear people debate and discuss ideas. That's all. Well, now he's being targeted. He's being threatened to be doxxed by people that are part of the Young Turks who are connected to where he used to work.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just it's the insanity of it. It's very much, I recommend that people read and review things like The Purges of the Communist. Review independent minds who are harassed or targeted, who smuggled out their texts during the communist era. Because there you'll see, or go back to the Inquisition era of the 13th, 14th, 15th century, because there you'll see the modus operandi, the pattern, what they're really doing, what they're really up to. You'll be able to preview it. You'll be able to forecast it. You'll be able to anticipate it.
See the patterns, too.
Exactly.
This is how they do it. When they do, when A comes, then there's going to be B, and then there's going to be C.
Precisely.
And then you could do that in your life and go, wow, this is what they're doing now.
Correct.
I can see where the flow is going. I can hut it off at the pass.
Exactly. You see the motivation. If you see the motivation, you see the mindset, then you can predict what's going to happen. You'll be able to forecast several years in advance that a guy like Scott Adams, who's just a cartoonist who likes to make interesting points and who's good at forecasting things, suddenly will have his image in a Nazi uniform on a Google search.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that just could not, you wouldn't have said, how in the world does that happen? It happens when the mind control thought police lose power and lose power at any level. And they're so terrified and horrified at what's taken place. The net effect of it has been that ordinary people, it gets to the point where even kids on a Catholic school trip to D.C. to represent the most innocent life, the most voiceless life in the world, can be targeted for individual harassment and their lives threatened and their careers and reputations ruined forever simply because they decided to go to the Lincoln Memorial and smiled at a guy beating a drum in their face.
And what did you think of that interview that the young boy, Mr. Sandman, did with I think it was an NBC reporter? I mean, the way she was trying to bully him into saying, aren't you sorry for anything you did? Don't you think you have to blame? And then they bring on Nathan Phillips and it's like, oh, you poor baby. When it should have been exactly opposite.
Absolutely. Here you have an adult who went and did a drum in somebody else's face, who then misrepresented what happened on multiple occasions with multiple interviews, both about what was said and where he was and how it all broke down. It turns out most of his life is a fraud in the sense of, you know, he was out there saying, oh, I was a Vietnam veteran. When I came back, people were spitting on me. He didn't have anything to come back from. He was repairing refrigerators.
In Nebraska.
I mean, there's everything is like the left can't even make up a story that's well told. All their stories are fake while they're terrorizing a bunch of high school kids. Once you reach that level, then that means there's no level they can't go, no level they can't reach, no level they won't go. It's very much the mindset of one of my favorite posters was an old Trotsky poster, which just showed all the people that Stalin had killed. It was like the whole 45 little communists who got together to help, you know, create the Russian Revolution, and like 44 of the 45 were dead within mm-hmm. 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's where the left is going. And the left ultimately will turn and eat its own, too,
right,
because it can't help itself.
Well, they know where the bodies are buried, and you can't have that.
Exactly.
Not if you're leading this thing. See, people don't understand that. The Minions, the Renfields, they're all going to suffer the same fate that they're doing to the other people, and they don't realize that. That's why you need an open society. You need a free society. And we're not perfect, but we're getting better.
Absolutely. It's the only way. I mean, we are the society that helped overcome racism. We're the society that was one of the first societies to end slavery. We're one of the societies that has tried to make a remedy and reparation to various communities we've harmed over time. You don't see a lot of other civilizations doing that over time. So we have done that because we have a free market space, a free thought space, a free speech space, not safe spaces, but freedom spaces where people can be free to speak and think and believe what they want to say, think, and believe. And we are jeopardizing that with this cultural conformist, coercive mindset coming from the ideological, institutional left of the media establishment, the entertainment establishment, and the press establishment, who's willing to libel a bunch of kids to achieve their objective.
Yeah, no, they really are. And so what is the next step? And then I want to bring on Owen Schroyer, maybe give him a chance to ask a question. What's the next step with the Covenant Kids?
So the next step is we're sending out demand letters. So the demand letters basically will be intention to sue. We're going to sue. And if you're willing to resolve the case and settle the case, then we'll agree to it. And if you want to settle the case, ways you could settle the case, Kathy Griffin, you can just delete your entire Twitter account. You could also just pin a tweet for the next year that says, by the way, I lied and libeled the Covington Kids. I apologize. They did nothing wrong. I did. So those are the kind of settlement options that we're putting out there.
And I'm giving so much money to a pro-life organization.
Exactly. Or to any other free speech organization.
Right. Yeah.
Or to any sort of free speech foundation. So that promotes speech on both sides, not just one side. It's not freedom of mind control. It's freedom of expression. So the left wants one. The rest of us want the other. And I think that's the next step. And if they don't take that next step, then we're going to be bringing suit. And bringing suit in Covington, Kentucky, likely in state court, and naming some high-profile individuals, United States senators, United States congresswomen, mm-hmm. High-profile members of the press, high-profile celebrities. They're all going to face a jury in Covington.
Well, Mr. Reza said, I've never seen a more punchable face. I reply back, I've never seen a more suable account. Owen Schroyer, are you there with us on the line in D.C.?
Yes, sir, and I'm so glad to hear Mr. Barnes saying this and that they're going to be continuing to move forward with this litigation. I will be giving an update on my current case involving a Women's March protester and the sexual assault charges that I have levied against her. So there'll be an update in that. And look, I just think that it's time for conservatives to do something about all of the acts of hate against us. I mean, I'm not a big believer philosophically in hate crimes. If you're going to create, do a crime against someone, there's probably hate involved anyway. But these are hate crimes by definition that they do against Trump supporters and conservatives because of our politics. And unless conservatives want to take things, into their own hands physically, which they'll end up getting arrested, we got to do something legally, press charges. And because of great lawyers like Mr. Barnes, it is possible for there to be justice.
All right, we'll be right back after this. Thank you for watching. Mr. Barnes, thank you for joining us here. Good luck with everything in the future. You're watching The War Room. Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send out to everybody you know. Owen Schroyer up next.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
live. It is start of the second hour. That was an amazing Robert Barnes interview. I hope you were able to watch that. If not, there are many places you can go on InfoWars and on the few remaining social media accounts we have left. We have a War Room Facebook page where you can watch it. These videos will be uploaded there soon. We also, if you go to InfoWars, guys, bring up InfoWars real quick and let's show them the video drop-down menu because I'm not sure if people are aware of it. There's InfoWars.com/show where you can watch the live stream. There's also links there. But pull up just InfoWars. Now go to videos. Just go to the, yeah, see? You got Alex Jones, The Dave and Knight Show, War Room. Go to War Room. Click on that. So you go to War Room and it brings you to the War Room page and let's scroll it and show everybody all the videos that are there. This will be changing soon to a different system, but right now, there you can go and see all of yesterday's shows, and pretty soon today's shows will be up there as well. So it's using that drop-down menu. It's easy to do. You can also go to our special reports. You can go watch Dave and Knight's show, which is being hosted by Harrison Smith while Dave and Knight recovers. Let me tell you, we're giving everything we got in the info war, and we do ask. You know, I had Robert Barnes on. I did like a little minor micro plug. But, I mean, we really do need your support. We only exist because people out there go, you know what? I like the information I'm getting from InfoWars. I'm going to support them. And they go to InfoWarsStore.com. They buy the products. They donate. They send out links to articles. They promote us. We have so many people out there, and I love seeing the stories on Twitter, people just standing out there with a free Alex Jones shirt or an InfoWars.com poster, and they're just going around talking to people. We sell products like TurboForce, which is our newest. I think it's a game changer. I showed you guys some photos yesterday from after I took TurboForce on Monday. I went for a 22-mile ride. My normal average miles per hour is between 12.5 and maybe 13.4. I went through and looked at all the different rides I'd done. I think 13.4 was the highest I'd ever gotten. Monday on TurboForce, I did 22 miles. And it was, I did 14 miles per hour. And I have to give the credit to him, to TurboForce. I have to give the credit to him because I've been riding for a while. Yes, you would see, you know, think the average would go up, but it was going, some rides were better, some rides were worse. Maybe it was colder, maybe it was warmer outside. I don't know. But, you know, it's winter right now here in Texas. There was a cold front that came through. I had a little bit of wind. People are asking me about the wind. Somebody asked me on Twitter, did you have the wind at your back? Well, I'm going in a giant circle. So if I did have wind at my back at one point, I'm going up against it on the other round, going over around the lake, Lady Bird Lake, which is actually the Colorado River. That's the mindset here in Austin. They have to call it a lake, even though it's a river. So, and it's not really it looks like a river. So I don't know why they just don't call it a river, Colorado River. Had to name something after Lady Bird. All right, Owen Schroyer, are you there?
I'm yeah, writing. Rob, and I want you to disavow your lakest speech.
I'm sorry. It's a lake. I'm sorry. The river is a lake. I have to say it. You know, they're going around here, Owen, and they're changing the names of streets because we used to have Robert E. Lee Drive. Well, we can't have Robert E. Lee Drive, so they name it after some black activist. But, you know, and it's not even about changing the name. When goes into changing a name, you have to go and change everything on your utilities. It's just such a hassle for people. And the people voted not to do it. And the city council didn't even care. They want to change this road called Manchac to Manchaca or whatever. They just want to change one letter. But they're like, well, it's misspelled wrong. Well, so that's not the end of that. That's how things happen. Jesus Christ. These people are out of control.
Hey, you know,
and they don't care what the cost is.
The city of Austin is proposing to build a 10-foot wall somewhere in the city to keep crime out too.
Oh my God, walls work! Wow. Oh, and you're going to take over, but I'm going to hang with you for at least a couple segments so we can banter back and forth. We'll be right back after this. You're watching the War Room. Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send out to everybody you know. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew, here in the Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines. Woo! We got Ric Flair. Wow. I didn't even know y'all were pulling that up. Ric Flair. I never did like Ric Flair, though. I was more of a Hacksaw Jim Duggan guy. I'm more of a Mid-South guy. Kamala the Ugandan Giant was one of my favorites as well. Poor guy, I think, got diabetes, had to cut off his legs. Anyway, that's kind of what happens in this world. You're allowed your 5 minutes of fame or so, and then the system chews you up and turns you into a pulp, squeezes you like that. They're like, you're not used for, no use to us anymore, and they smash you. There's Kamala. All right, Owen Schroyer. Were you in the Mid-South Wrestling region back in the day? Probably by the time you started watching it, it had all been sucked up by WWE.
Well, I think, we may have to consider you hosting the War Room. We may have to consider banishing you for what you just said about Ric Flair. So I don't know. we're gonna have to review the tape.
I didn't like Ric Flair. I thought he was a showboat.
Okay, well now he's doubled down. So that'll be the last time Rob Dew fills in. We're gonna have a stand in.
Needs a 2x4 upside his head.
You could do the Ric Flair on Fox News this week, where he's literally like sitting on his lazy boy. Looks like he just woke up from a nap, like eating popcorn or something. But when you're Ric Flair, I guess you can do that. But hey, not to get distracted. You know, Rob, you were talking about Turbo Force in the break. And I'm going to ask the audience to kind of bear with me here for the rest of the broadcast here today, because I'll probably be coughing and sniffling a little bit. Obviously, people have noticed I'm not getting much sleep this week. I'm pretty much working around the clock, and it's 10 degrees outside. And we're doing a lot of live reports from outside, so it's finally starting to catch up with me. Man, I wish I had some of that Turbo Force, because it would really be a game changer. Instead, I'm forced to suck down coffee or soda or any other caffeine I can find. But I'm telling you, I am desperately, desperately wishing I had Turbo Force right now. But we're gonna pile drive through it all anyway. And there's definitely gonna be some big developments before the week is concluded. And we'll have the exclusives right here. And it's funny, Rob, because I'm seeing a bunch of stories about Roger Stone, obviously my co-host, who's not going to be joining us today. And, I mean, obviously I'm in touch with Roger. I'm spending a lot of time with him this week. You know, he's the co-host here. He works for InfoWars. And it's just funny to see all these stories and everything people saying. And so much of it is just fake. So much of it is just stuff taken out of context. And it's really amazing to kind of witness it firsthand, you know, being someone that knows the truth and watching what people are reporting. So it's really strange where you have people reporting what they think is the real Roger Stone story, but you can really only get it at InfoWars.com.
That is very true. One of the lies that I was seeing was that he was responsible for hacking Jeff Bezos' phone and putting out some salacious texts. I don't know about that. I don't see how Roger did that. I mean, it's just like
we broke that news last night. You can pull up the War Room Facebook page and go look at the video. We did it was a troll video because we knew it was going to come out. We knew we had the jump on the Daily Beast. So we just did a fake video. Did Roger Stone hack Jeff Bezos' phone? And then, of course, we told you that the Daily Beast was going to launch this story. And then that's exactly what they did today. Bezos launches investigation into leaked text with Lauren Sanchez that killed his marriage, and they somehow think
why is it anybody's fault that his marriage is dead except his fault and her fault? I mean, that's why his marriage is dead. It has nothing to do with whether people found out or not.
Well, you know, you never want to take responsibility for your actions. And
especially
look,
if you're a liberal. Yes.
And look, well, is Jeff Bezos really a liberal? I don't know about that. I think he just pretends to be one. But look, you know, it's just another way to get Roger Stone's name in the news, try to demonize Roger Stone. And it's really just stupid. And I think Jeff Bezos is probably hurting in the pocketbook right now because he's about to make his soon-to-be ex-wife the most richest woman in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, they... I think Eddie Murphy said it best. I want half. I want half. And she's probably going to get half.
It's tough. You know, I was actually looking into this, and I couldn't really find enough information to report on this, but I was curious if there's any other countries in the world that if a man divorces his wife, the woman can get half of his money. I was looking into this. I don't know if there's any other country in the world that does that. So again, I mean, clearly it's really hard on females in the West, but I couldn't find it. So I don't know if that happens in other countries or not, but hey, you know, it's everyone else's fault except Jeff Bezos that he cheated on his wife and got caught. And now he's going to lose hundreds of billions of dollars.
Well, and if you're in New York, you can kill your kid up to 6 months. And in Virginia, they want to make it all the way up till you give birth. They're like, hey, you can kill the kid whenever you feel like it. I mean, it's just a kid. And I've even seen some, there was a scientist, a political scientist or a sociologist that said we should be able to kill kids up to the age of 3 because they're really not conscious beings at that point. I mean, that's the kind of people you're looking, that we're up against, really. People who want to kill children, people who want to drink their blood. Satanic devil worshipers, and they want to have sex with kids. It's disgusting. And you got this creature, this Virginia state delegate, Kathy Tran, who wants to abort babies up till the mother is dilated. And well, have you seen the pictures of this? They show how they do it. They stick a needle. They just get the legs out and the body out and the head's still in there, and they stick a needle into the back of the kid's head and shoot it with some poison till it dies, and then they pull it out. That's cool. That's
well, in the in the Gosnell movie that came out that was pretty much pulled from most theaters almost immediately, it talks about how Dr. Gosnell had a couple babies that I guess you would say survived the abortion or whatever, or they were born and they were outside of the womb and everything. And he basically just takes scissors to the back of their neck and chops their spinal cord and kills them. So this has actually been going on for a while. And then it comes out via, I forget which district it was, the court. You know, Planned Parenthood was trying to sue Project Veritas, saying that they doctored the videos they released of the Planned Parenthood people talking about selling the baby parts, getting Ferraris and everything. The court ruled that those videos were not doctored. And so it's amazing how now it turns out, which we all knew was true, you know, Planned Parenthood is selling these baby parts illegally. Turns out that Project Veritas, again, gets the undercover video and there's no legal action whatsoever. In fact, Planned Parenthood continues to get funding and support from even Republicans and conservative judges on the Supreme Court to get funding from the taxpayers. So it's really sick.
Yeah. I mean, who do you turn to when the people that are supposedly on your side are like, eh, we like killing kids. We like supporting it. It's a big industry. You gotta have jobs. You know, I mean, is that their excuse? What is their excuse? What excuse could there be to allow you and justify the killing of babies?
Well, there's obviously going to be situations where, a woman, let's say, is raped and, gets an unwanted pregnancy, or even a woman's life is in danger because of a pregnancy. And these are obviously circumstances that are very touchy and circumstantial that you know, who knows what the right decision might be. But it's the fact that instead of saying, okay, well, if I have sex and I get pregnant, I can just, I can just undo that decision. I can just, erase the consequences of that. Well, those are the abortions that I think should be illegal. But even if you wanted to make the case that abortion should be legal, even if that was your policy, what's sick is now we have on video when they pass these laws that you can abort a baby up to term, when you can abort a baby that's dilated, in that process, they celebrate it. I mean, they actually stand and cheer.
It's like a victory. They do victory laps. They light up buildings.
That's just strange to me. It's like if you're going to stand up and say, hey, abortion needs to be legal, okay, fine, that's your political stance. It's still a tragic thing. Why are you celebrating it? It really shows how sick they are.
Yeah, they want to equate women's health with killing children. They want that to be the same thing. And that's the problem we have in society. We'll be right back with The War Room. Thanks for watching.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. We'll be right back.
We are deep into the second hour of the War Room. If you notice, I'm going through puberty now. My voice keeps changing. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Joining me in Washington, D.C. is Owen Schroyer, our roving reporter who normally sits at this desk. Is that Drew in the background coughing?
Yeah, both of us are pretty much, probably need like an IV and, like a 48-hour sabbatical / coma. But no, Drew's been doing great work. He's doing editing, obviously, videography, running around following Roger and everything. And man, I got to tell you, the temperature, obviously, everybody's knowing what's happening in the northern states right now in the United States. In fact, today there was a story that wind chill factors in Minnesota reach negative 75 degrees.
Wow.
We had a driver today who had a brother in Minnesota who said that basically they've canceled work. It's like nobody's even leaving the house right now. It's insane. There's some chilling, pun not intended, chilling videos coming out of the Midwest where it's just like you'd think you're in Antarctica. People are throwing boiling water into the air, and it's basically crystallizing and freezing in midair. It reminds me of the record cold temperatures we had. I believe it was either Mount Vernon or somewhere where people were literally throwing boiling water into there, and it was freezing in midair. So that was just last year. So I'm just waiting to find out how this is tied into global warming. Or I think maybe we ought to be giving President Trump some credit. I mean, in 2 short years, he has solved the global warming crisis. So I'm just waiting to find out those reports. I'm sure that they'll be coming soon.
Well, I saw something today. It said how the record cold is linked to global warming. So look up those words. I believe it was Forbes that put that out there. How the record cold is linked to global warming. Because, look, that's the next fake economy that they need to push. I think they're going to get some pushback on 5G. I think people are starting to come out of the woodwork on that. So I don't think that's going to be as easy. But this Green New Deal that they're going to try to push, where we're going to create these jobs that really have nothing to do with anything but making energy more expensive. The bottom line with all this Green Deal stuff is to make energy more expensive. And when you don't have cheap energy, you don't have innovation. You have people turning off the lights. You have people not working on things in their garages. You have plants closing down early. You have plants working at half speed. You have all kinds of economic indicators when you have more expensive energy.
Well, here's the problem.
That is not a panacea. Go ahead.
All of these ideological policies, I mean, you know, Cortez is just the latest example where in her district, they pass a $15 minimum wage law. And then immediately within 72 hours, restaurants are laying off workers, cutting hours, changing schedules. Because look, you know, let's say if you're a startup restaurant, anybody who's ever, been involved in starting a restaurant knows that, you know, the first year or two it's tough. It's tough to make a profit. It's tough to hit the bottom line. And so, you know, it's tough to, you know, be able to afford good help. And so now all of a sudden you're basically, you know, kneecapping anybody who wants to start up a business. I mean, the restaurant industry, you know, the service industry is just one example. You can't afford to pay your employees. And so what are you going to do? Well, you're going to shut your doors. You're going to go out of business. So all of these ideological policies, while they seem to be genuine and heartfelt, they just don't deliver at the end of the day. It's like the same thing where people are complaining about Dan Snyder. I believe he's the owner of the Washington Redskins, where he buys like $100 million yacht or something. And it's like, oh, wow, you know, here's the super elite. Well, yeah, OK, it sucks that you have a country where there are people that have billions of dollars. And then you have a man that just died, a homeless man that just died in Chicago because it was
so
cold.
The guy in Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like nobody's celebrating that. Everybody wishes that we could do something about that. But the answer is not the government. The answer is the free market. The answer is the private, industries, but they're going to basically drive all of those out of existence if they continue down this road, this path to socialism, which now Kamala Harris is getting behind. And look, people like it, Rob. People think it's going to work.
Oh, they do.
And people are getting behind it. And I'd hate to see an example, or I'd hate to see a state like New York become an example where businesses are closing and, you know, doors are shutting and people are getting out of work because of these policies. And then what are they going to do? They're going to go to the government for assistance and aid, and the government's not going to be able to help them. Just look at California, where it's actually worse and worse every day. There's videos that come out every day where you drive through the streets of California and you might think you're in Venezuela in some places. So, you know, it's already bad. And quite frankly, we've already basically gone under soft socialism in this country with all the welfare programs and everything. And, you know, look, it's good. It's heartfelt, but it just slowly deteriorates a sovereign nation state. And that's what we're seeing.
Anything the government declares a war on gets worse. War on poverty, poverty gets worse. War on drugs, drugs get worse. War on terror, terror gets worse.
Yeah.
It happens and then over you have to, and over again. And yet we don't have a motive for the Las Vegas shooter. We got all these law enforcement, all these cameras, all this capability, all this cell phone hacking, all this NSA, all this deep state. And we don't know why this guy went up there and shot all those people. Really? Really? Are we really that stupid? There it is.
Well, I'm waiting
NPR.
For them to come out.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm waiting for them to come out and say, not only do we not know the motive of the Vegas shooting, you know what? We don't even know who did it. That's what they'll say next, probably in like 5 years.
Well, I've heard the audio of the two handgun shots at the end. There's bam, bam.
Well, Rob, you know, I mean, that was like...
It's a shot to the chest and a shot to the head.
That was just a couple of months after the war room started. In fact, I think it was like the first month after the war room started. And this was a big story for me that I was covering and following just minute by minute. And a lot of people said that, you know, our coverage at InfoWars was the best coverage by far of the Vegas shooting. And this was something that I was heavily focused on during October of 2017. So it's just amazing that you cover this and everybody has all of this evidence and all these incongruencies and all these anomalies. And instead of answering those questions or investigating these anomalies, the FBI just says, oh, sorry, you get nothing. So biggest massacre in U.S. history and the American people get no answers. But you know, I need to have a proctology exam if I want to fly in America. Meanwhile, the border's wide open, but terrorism is somehow a threat. So it's all ridiculous, and none of it makes sense. But, Rob, I'll tell you what. There's a big story that went under the radar that I'm going to talk about in the next segment, as well as an update on the sexual assault against me and an update on Roger Stone. Big story out of KTLA, though. We remember the big sex trafficking arrest that happened in 2017. There's another massive sex trafficking arrest that has just happened in L.A.
What a surprise.
These numbers are going to blow your mind.
All right, we'll be right back. You're watching The War Room. Stay tuned for more hard-hitting reports. Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send out to everybody you know.
Infowars.com/show.
There's cucks.
You're fucking a white male!
And then there's the cuck slayer.
If you impeach Trump, it'll be civil war.
It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Is that what you want?
Watch the live stream right now at Infowars.com/show.
So what you're looking at now is video courtesy. I guess I found it on Diamond and Silk. I don't know who shot this. I'll give you the credits in a second. But this is your future. Tent cities. Everybody's going to live in Burning Man. This is what it's going to be like. You're going to be like asking, where is the water? Where do I get this? Look at the pigeons are going to eat. Yeah, that's California. That's California. It's turned into a giant tent city. And that is what people like Kamala Harris want to do to you. They want to turn California into a giant tent city, and they want to go after the rest of the world because they want people begging for money. They want people begging for basic necessities in life. They don't want people to be empowered. They don't want people to earn for themselves because here's the thing. These government people are basically parasites. So they think everybody should be a parasite. But where does the money come from? Oh, well, you know, we're just going to raise taxes. I mean, look at this. This is sad. Let me see who sent this out. Diamond and Silk retweeted it. Let's see. Oh, my God. Well, it doesn't really say where it comes from. So I see it on there. Some, I don't think they shot it, but they probably found it. Yeah, it's on their site. It has 126,000 views. It should have 10 million views. That's disturbing. I went and visited some tent cities out in 2009. They were calling them Obamavilles. And this was after the 2008 crash. People were moving into tent cities. And these, a lot of these people had jobs. They were working. But they couldn't afford to pay the prices with what they were getting paid. And that has to do with a bunch of things. You look at the regulations in California. You look at the taxes in California. It's hard for people to pay living wages when they're being taxed and regulated to death. But the California politician doesn't agree with that assessment. The California politician says, no, I'm going to take your money. I'm going to take your hard work. I'm going to buy myself a nice jet. I'm going to travel around the world with delegations. I'm going to do my business, and you're going to pay for it. Oh, and you're going to pay these people a living wage, which you can't afford because I'm taxing and regulating you to death. Do you agree with that assessment, Owen Schroyer?
Well, I just look at this, and it's a situation where it's like the eye test is gone. Instead of actually going and looking at these Democrat-run cities where socialism is rampant, California, a perfect example. And it's like, okay, well, here's the direct result of Democrat policies. Here's the direct result of socialist policies. But no, that eye test seems to just be forgotten or ignored. Instead, the eye test is, oh, what is CNN saying about these people? Or, oh, what virtue signaling quote did we just get from Kamala Harris? I mean, you can list off all the famous Democrats, you know, Swalwell, Schiff, Ted Lieu, Kamala Harris, Willie Brown. I mean, the list goes on. And these are the people responsible for the state of California, not conservatives, not Donald Trump. They are, but they never own it. They never take ownership of it. And here's the thing, Rob. You know, it really is tragic. I keep going back to the video of that man in Chicago because he did an interview. I don't know if you saw this, but he did an interview with somebody the day before he died. Yeah. And, you know, he's sitting there talking about how he gets insulted and called a bum and all this stuff. And he's like, hey, look, I'm a human. I'm trying to get back on my feet. You know, it's tough out here. I wish I had a home to go to. The number one way for most people to get back on their feet or, you know, to get a job is in the service industry. The restaurant industry is a perfect example. A fry cook, a line cook. Is it the most glamorous job? Is it laborious with low wages? Yes, but it is a way for people to kind of get a paycheck, get back on their feet. But what's happening now, as soon as you have a $15 an hour minimum wage, those jobs are not going to exist anymore. They're simply not going to exist. So it's going to eliminate in the service industry the ability for someone to start at a minimum wage job. Again, it sucks, but it's something. And, you know, they're going to basically get rid of that leg in, you know, with the service industry to try to start making some money and get a job again with the $15 an hour minimum wage. So, yeah, you watch that video from Diamond and Silk, and you'd think that people would see that and have like an eye-opening moment, like, whoa, how have we gotten here? But as you said, only a couple hundred thousand views. Most people probably haven't seen it. You know, they're involved in their own business, and so it just becomes a non-story, even though it should be the number one story. I mean, there's no doubt in America, you still have maybe the highest standard of living worldwide. Maybe you can look at Switzerland or Luxembourg or something, but these are small countries in Europe that have extremely strong borders. I mean, you can't even become a Swiss citizen, I think, unless you have like millions and millions of dollars. So I just wish people would see those videos and just ask themselves, what is going on? How have we reached this point in America? And it always leads back to the same thing, and that's Democrat policies. I'm not saying Republicans have all the answers. I'm just saying that in the West, it's the free market and capitalism that created the highest standard of living. And now that we're trending in the opposite direction, you're starting to see more of these tent cities, and you're starting to see, you know, poverty in California with feces on the streets and needles on the streets. So most people just don't even hear these stories, unfortunately, Rob.
But it's only in certain sections of the country. It's not everywhere. We're seeing record job growth. We're seeing 4 million jobs with since Trump's come into office. We're seeing all this economic activity not concentrated on big banks or things that aren't really doing anything, but like manufacturing jobs. Skilled labor, welders, stuff like that.
I think it was the oil industry in Texas. I forget what it was, but I think it was the oil industry in Texas starting wages, salaries at $75,000 a year. They can't even fill the jobs. There's massive job openings.
Yeah.
In these oil fields and stuff. That's a fair salary. You could buy a house in a couple of years with a salary like that, and they can't even fill the jobs.
They're paying, I think, starting wage at Walmart's in North Dakota where they're doing the tar sands. There's not enough people for the jobs up there. They're building houses. They're building hotels. Their starting wage at Walmart was $25 an hour, and that was 2 years ago. I mean, that's incredible. And it's a middle of nowhere Nebraska where they're finding the tar sands oil that they're pulling out and the shale oil. And so you're having economic booms there where there was nothing. And it's the technology. The technology is always going to make if we keep innovating, we'll be able to innovate our way past this ocean patch of plastic. We can innovate our way. There's already people working on this now. People have decided that, hey, we're done with the great Pacific Ocean patch. We're going to clean it up. But then, and then you look and you go, where's all this trash coming from? Oh, it's coming from Africa. Okay. It's come from East Asia. They're the ones throwing the stuff away. They're the ones not taking care of their environment. Yet, we're the ones scolded for it. We're the ones told we're bad. We're the ones told we're killing the planet. Over and over again by these same people who run around and are giant hypocrites. So, Owen, I know you want to get into what's coming up with your case. And what else? And you had some Roger Stone updates. Why don't you dangle a little bit in front of people as we go out to break? We've got about a minute left.
Yeah, so Roger and I scooped the Daily Beast last night. And I'm going to show you the Daily Beast story that they published today that we beat them to. And it's just hilarious. We'll read that. And again, anything Roger Stone you're seeing in the news is probably fake news unless you're hearing it here from InfoWars. And then, yes, there has been an update in the case of sexual assault. The Women's March protester that grabbed my crotch has been arrested. And, it's amazing. There's international news interest in this, Rob. And I got to tell you,
she was very proud of it. She was very proud of it when she did it.
Well, I don't know how proud of it she is now. I doubt that smirk is still on her face. But I'll tell you what, Rob, you take us to break here, and I'm gonna say something about this that we already know. I don't get into infighting. It's just amazing how a select group of conservatives just decided to ignore this story. But you know, if it was one of them, all of them would have been playing.
Right.
Oh, but since it's Owen Schroyer from InfoWars, we're not gonna touch it.
Yeah, you're nothing. You're nothing. You're not a human. You're scum because you like to tell the truth and you like to get information to people. It's a problem with this world, but hey, we're changing minds. It's okay. We'll be right back. You're watching The War Room. Thanks for watching.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Final second segment of the second hour of the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew, sitting in here in the Central Texas Command Center. Deep in the heart of Texas. I've kind of enjoyed sitting in here. I actually haven't done any hosting in a while. I've been behind the scenes, shooting videos, editing videos, putting the studio together over here. Another big studio, the Millennium Falcon. Studio Joe, as we like to call it. Joining me in D.C. is Owen Schroyer, and I'm going to turn the reins over to him at the end of this segment and let him take it for the rest of the way because I have other work to do, and the work never ends here at InfoWars. I would like to go on a ride today, but I don't think I'm going to get to do that. I'm still under whatever these damn allergies are have really taken its toll on me. Owen, I've heard you're coughing as well, so we're all kind of under the weather, but we're still fighting in the info war every day. We're not staying at home. We're not calling in sick. We're not poo-pooing. We're standing up and we're doing it. So, Owen, why don't you get into, you had a couple stories you were dangling in front of everybody. right before we went to break, one of which is your own case where you were grabbed in the crotch by a woman who thought it was just so smart and cute to break the law. Well, now she's learning that the law actually has some teeth.
Yeah, and I do want to thank the people at the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department that have been so helpful with me along this case. It's literally been three people that have been really regularly in touch with me. So I want to thank the Metropolitan Police Department down here for doing their job well. Obviously, it got ignored that day at the march, but in the follow-up process, they've been very helpful. So the update is a warrant was issued for this woman's arrest yesterday. It was then the arrest then happened today. I believe the arraignment is either happening right now or perhaps here shortly. And then obviously things will move forward. I don't want to divulge too much information for obvious reasons. And I want to make sure that I'm only reporting on things that I know have happened. So there's some potentialities out there that may or may not happen. But as of right now, she has been arrested and her arraignment is next. And, you know, we'll see what happens next. You can obviously have the updates at Infowars.com, Newswars.com, of course, right here on the War Room Facebook page. And, you know, there was obviously the video yesterday of the deranged Trump hater, as Robert Barnes so eloquently stated, if you're driving around with a rat in the back of your truck, you're probably not mentally stable to begin with. And then when you literally bite a mic cover off of a reporter's microphone and then, I don't know what he tried to like shove it up his exhaust pipe. That's not a, we'll just leave it there. And then he was wiping his mouth and nose with it. He licked his finger. He was going to stick it in my eye at first. And then I said assault. And that's when he started to act like he was just going to do it to the camera. He was definitely going for my eye when he first did that. And so, yeah, there he is eating the mic cover. Now he's going to go shove it in an exhaust pipe. Then he's going to wipe his nose and mouth with it. And then he attempts to put it back on my microphone, to which I respond, dude, I don't want your disgusting whatever it is on my mic. And again, the cops saw the whole thing. I raised fuss. I said, will you do anything about this man? They said no. And, you know, look, I don't really know what you do. I mean, yes, he stole my mic cover and now he's trying to sell it. That's hilarious. He thinks he can sell that on eBay. He did claim he's going to disinfect it from his own whatever he has before he sells it. So we'll see if that happens. But, you know, I think truthfully, you know, pressing charges against that man is not the solution here. Towards the woman that grabbed my genitals, yes. Towards this man, he just simply needs to be thrown in an insane asylum. I mean, this is a man that belongs in a mental institution. There's all kinds of signs just in that short, you know, 3-minute interaction I had with him that proves to me he belongs in a mental institution. But unfortunately, we closed the doors to all of those in the 90s. So, yes, though, here's what I'm hoping, that this moment will be a threshold or a Rubicon against all of the hate crimes that Trump supporters are dealing with. Because you showed this story from Breitbart earlier. It's almost 700 accounts of assault on Trump supporters. You know, most of it is, you know, shoving people, punching them, knocking their hat off, spitting on them. I doubt my sexual assault case is probably not even on that report. I basically have to beg Breitbart to ever put my stories up there. I believe I'm on there 4 times. I think even Savannah might be on there once when the ACLU guy spit at her feet. So I'm just, unless we do something about all of the hate against conservatives and Trump supporters in the streets, unless we take action and force law enforcement to do their job, it's only going to get worse. So my hope is that this will be an example and a deranged Trump hater won't or will think twice before knocking off a Trump hat or spitting at a Trump supporter or punching a Trump supporter or, yes, even grabbing a Trump supporter by the crotch. So that's kind of my hope. It's become an international news story. The clip has been seen millions of times around the world. And so we're going to develop or we're going to continue to cover that as it develops. But here's what I was saying in the last segment, Robin. Again, people that listen to the War Room and know me know that I don't do infighting. I don't name names. It's not really something I do. I like to just be a general team player and just kind of not get into the muck with the infighting in the Trump base or conservative side. But, you know, I think it's pathetic because, I mean, I could sit here and name names. If it was, let's say, Ben Shapiro that had his, you know, his unit grabbed at a women's march, it'd be the biggest story on Fox News. Everybody would pick it up. Every conservative group would pick it up. Everybody would be tweeting about it, retweeting about it. But because it's Owen Schroyer from InfoWars, well, as you know, Rob, there's certain conservative news outlets that will never touch it, never cover it, and will act like it never happened. Even though this woman has now been arrested and the charges have been filed. And, oh, you know,
I predict you're going to be bad at the end of this. You're going to be bad. You're going to be the bad guy. She's going to be the victim.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I think, though, Rob, obviously the left is not going to want to cover this. Although I have to say, I've had more support from people that consider themselves liberals and, you know, don't like Trump than I have from many conservatives. So, again, it just shows you how there's this weird, like, obsession with – it's like a narcissism thing where it's like, oh, I don't want to do InfoWars, you know, oh. But it's not even about InfoWars. It's about the fact that at a women's march where they're there supposedly protesting against sexual assault, she comes up and sexually assaults me. So, I mean, why wouldn't you want to pick that up? I mean, it proves everything that we've been saying about these deranged protesters for years. Oh, but because I'm with InfoWars, we're not allowed to cover it. So we'll see if Fox News ever wants to pick it up or some other people out there that are very well known in the conservative base. But it's not going to stop me from moving forward. It's obviously not going to stop InfoWars from covering it. But again, I think it just goes to show how some people aren't really in it for the country or aren't really in it for the right reasons, aren't really in it to win it, if you will. And it's stories like this that kind of highlight or exemplify what a lot of people already believe is the case, that some conservatives are just in it to enrich themselves and be famous. And it's moments like this to me that prove it.
It's selfie journalism is what it is. And that's the mindset we're dealing with. And, you know, I commend you for doing it. You know, Owen, you step up. You go out and face these scum every day.
I go out and face these scum. And I'm going to tell you, Rob, look, this has not been an easy process. I mean, I'm on the phone with detectives and people in the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Department every day. I mean, this is taking 30 minutes to an hour out of my day every day. That's valuable time that I can barely afford to give. You know, I've had to have, you know, Savannah and Greg help with this, too, because they were witnesses and they filmed the event. So it's been a painstaking process, but it's what we have to do. It's what we have to do if we want this to stop. We have to put our money where our mouth is, and we have to force law enforcement to do their job, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And that, I think that's the key. Force law enforcement to do the job, to go after the laws that are on the books. We don't need new laws. We need them to enforce laws that are already there. So with that, I'm going to sign off here for this edition of The War Room. Owen Schroyer is going to take you the rest of the way. You can follow me on Twitter at Dews News, DewsNewz. Owen, I got about 200,000 views yesterday of that 2 minutes of Mr. Mike Eater. I'm stealing your glory, and I love it. So thank you for that. And
I'll take the glory.
So with that, Owen Schroyer will be taking over from Washington, D.C. He's got some special announcements coming up as well. So stay tuned for that. You're watching The War Room on Infowars.com/show. That's the free stream to send out to everybody you know.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room. Owen Schroyer taking over host duties. And I want to get this out of the way before we get to some more serious news here in the final hour. And maybe I'll open up the phone lines again here from Washington, D.C., where we are covering the Roger Stone phenomenon, where Robert Mueller is trying to destroy an innocent man's life. That's my co-host, Roger Stone. But guys, go to the War Room's Facebook page and just pull up the broadcast that Roger and I did last night at about midnight here local in front of the Reagan building. We did a broadcast last night trolling the Daily Beast. We got the jump on their story about Jeff Bezos that they published today. And so we did a kind of a mock-up video last night joking about it, but really just, you know, preempting their story. That's basically what we did. Roger knew they were going to do it, and he had the angles. And so they had to make some changes probably. But guys, if you could pull up that video, because I want to just show the evidence that we did that before I go to this piece. So let's just show that video here, because yeah, there it is right there. Is that it? Yes. Okay. That's it. Thank you guys. So there's Roger and I title breaking. Did Roger Stone hack Jeff Bezos' phone? Now, Roger knew that this story was going to come out in the Daily Beast today. And the headline is Bezos launches investigation into leaked texts with Lauren Sanchez that killed his marriage. So aside from the actual story, the point is Roger got the jump on him, and we preempted him last night in a comical fashion, and we got into kind of the nuts and bolts, but it was more just a comical fashion and preempting these guys. We did that yesterday. Look at the last paragraph I read directly from the Daily Beast article right now. Listen to how ridiculous this is. On Tuesday, in an apparent attempt to preempt the Daily Beast's reporting on this story, Roger Stone, a longtime Trump advisor facing criminal charges related to the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. No, that's fake news. It's of all process crimes. Nothing has to do with the election. So that's fake news. Claimed to the conspiracy site InfoWars that the Daily Beast was working on an article alleging that he had conspired with the Trump administration to hack Bezos' text messages and feed them to the Inquirer. Stone also said that the story had been pitched by the Amazon PR people. All of those claims are false. So we literally do the video. We do a mock-up, say, did Roger Stone hack Jeff Bezos? Because Roger Stone's name is everywhere. So you put Roger Stone in the title and you get a bunch more views. We do preempt them on their story. We did it again last night. And then they say it didn't even happen, even though in the story, they admit it happened. I have never seen anything like this. So in the story, they say that Roger Stone claimed to InfoWars that the Daily Beast was about to publish a story about Bezos' phone getting hacked. And then they publish the story about Bezos' phone getting hacked and claim that our preemptive coverage of it didn't happen, even though they're admitting it did happen. I don't know. I'll tell you. The mental gymnastics to try and figure the logic behind the final paragraph in this Daily Beast story is I think I just sprained my cortex, because this is unbelievable. So again, folks, Roger gets the jump on this story. We jokingly do a video last night saying, was it Roger Stone and Donald Trump that hacked Bezos' phone, to just get the momentum of the Roger Stone story to preempt the Daily Beast story about Bezos' phone being hacked. We do another broadcast later in the night talking about it. The Daily Beast admits that this is what happened, and then they publish the story that we preempted them on, and then they claim that it was all made up and that it didn't happen. So there is the daily pile of crap for you, known as the Daily Beast. Wow, amazing stuff. We'll be right back. Fun last segment. throwing some shade at the daily pile of crap known as the Daily Beast. But we're going to shift into some more serious news as we go about this hour, including another major sex trafficking, human trafficking sting in California that nets over 300 arrests. This is the second major bust of this nature out of California that KTLA has covered. Massive story there that I'm going to be getting into. There's some other stuff developing right now as well. For example, everybody heard about the lie, or what appears to be the lie, about the Empire actor who claimed he was basically, you know, assaulted and beaten and tortured, really, by Trump supporters in the streets. Well, the police have denied that any evidence of that story exists. And it's funny because this was something, sometimes stories like this will break and I'll kind of sit on them for 24 or 48 hours because I can just smell a rat and I don't want to jump shark on a story like this until more details follow. But I was talking to a reporter at the Daily Beast who does great work, Andrew Kerr, who actually just busted a Antifa terrorist who was the one responsible for the attack on Tucker Carlson's house. He's been arrested. And I was talking to him yesterday, and I was kind of giving him a scoop on this, if you will. And I was saying, hey, look, have you heard about this Empire actor and the claims that he was basically tortured by Trump supporters? There seem to be a lot of gaps. I think it's going to come out as a fake news story. And then, of course, it looks like that's going to be the case. But we'll continue to monitor that. The deep fake phenomenon is continuing to surface, as actually the former InfoWars reporter Mikhail Phelan has a story on the Daily Dot. We'll get to that. You have a story that's kind of, I'm surprised, not getting much coverage. I'd think it'd be the top story on Drudge Report. Drudge Report is highlighting the freezing that's happening right now in the northern states, but two people are injured in official government motorcade accident outside the White House after protester leaps in front of vehicle and is brought down by Secret Service. It reminds me of what happened in Springfield, Missouri, 2 years ago when President Trump, I believe, was having a rally. I forget what he was doing in Springfield, Missouri, and a car came flying out of the woods, literally the woods on the side of the road. Car comes flying out of the woods, and it appears to attempt to ram President Trump's motorcade or President Trump's vehicle. Unfortunately for the insane driver, they hit a rut or a gutter before they reached the road, and it stalled their car out, and they were unable to reach the motorcade. So this isn't the first time that a Trump protester has attempted to disrupt or harm Trump's motorcade. But today, this protester was a little more successful. And it just shows you that these people are continuing to get more deranged. You have a big story coming out of Texas. Approximately 95,000 individuals identified by DPS as non-U.S. citizens have a matching voter registration record in Texas, and at least 58,000 of them have voted in Texas elections. So again, there is your voter fraud that InfoWars have been reporting on for a long time. And you know, this is just one that just, it continues to make headlines and it continues to baffle me. Now look, I don't care. It's been going on for a long time. Music videos featuring women's, you know, butts and boobs and everything. There's nothing new to that. And, you know, call it entertaining or whatever. But there's a new debate happening. And look, this is not a mantle that I'm trying to take here. I don't care. You know, you can do whatever you want in a music video. That's not my beef here. But it's taken this weird twist now where it's all about female empowerment. And is a music video featuring Cardi B and like 20 or 30 naked women shaking their butt considered women's empowerment? It's like the same thing with me with people that celebrate abortion. People do these music videos. People have been doing them for decades. Why are they claiming it's women's empowerment? I guess it's the empowerment to make money shaking your butt or something. Oh, but then sometimes they say it's not, you know, objectifying women is not female empowerment. So my whole thing is like, if you want to talk about female empowerment, why are we using a Cardi B music video? It just, again, it's like the same thing. It's like, if you want to stand up for abortion as a political issue, okay, fine. But why are you celebrating it? It's like, okay, if you want to talk about female empowerment, you know, and everything, why are you using a music video of a girl shaking her butt instead of a woman that writes a bunch of books, a top-selling author, a highly accomplished attorney, a highly accomplished, you know, professor or something like that? It's somehow Cardi B shaking her butt. So somehow that becomes the debate about women's empowerment and, you know, not women that are intellectual and, you know, writing books or something like that. So it's just like a weird thing that has taken on a life of its own. And so we're going to cover some of that stuff. You also have the Pledge of Allegiance. I believe it just got banned at certain colleges. Yes, a California College Board has banned the Pledge of Allegiance. Santa Barbara City College Board decided to discontinue the use of the Pledge of Allegiance because of its history and symbolism. Steeped in expressions of nativism and white nationalism, those are the quotes from Rob Miller, who is on the Board of Trustees. So I guess that we should just end America then, probably, unless all the white people want to leave. We should probably just end America, even though people from all over the world, all different walks of life, all different skin colors can come here and basically make themselves kings. That's what makes America so great. No, we have to ban the national, ban the Pledge of Allegiance from colleges because it might upset somebody. So you've got all that going on. Now, I'm going to get into this story from KTLA. Human trafficking sting across California nets 333 arrests, rescue of nearly 50 victims, including teens. And there's some other gruesome details of this story. So we're going to cover that on the other side. But folks, first of all, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing here in DC and the crew back in Austin working all hours of the day if it wasn't for your steadfast support at InfoWarsStore.com. Alex would not continue to bull forward if it wasn't for your steadfast support at InfoWarsStore.com. So thank you so much for that. And you know that you have our commitment. Now, we've got big specials going right now at InfoWarsStore.com, including 33% off the brand new TurboForce. And this is one of those products at InfoWarsStore.com that you just cannot deny it works. I mean, it's just impossible not to feel the positive effects of TurboForce. Try it for yourself at InfoWarsStore.com. Right now, it's at an introductory price of 33% off. Another product that you cannot deny the results of is Bod Ease, which is 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Bod Ease has quickly become a top-rated and top-selling supplement at InfoWarsStore.com, and it is 50% off right now. Take advantage of that. And while you're at InfoWarsStore.com, check out all the other great supplements. Check out the hats, the t-shirts. We've got air filters, water filters, emergency food supplies, survival gear. The store is huge. You've got CBD oils now, too, that we have at Washington's Reserve. So InfoWars Store continues to expand. We've got household items like toothbrushes and toothpaste, shampoo, body lotion. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. So, and it's your support that makes all of this possible. And let me just say, you will see Alex Jones' commitment by the end of this week, ladies and gentlemen, because there's going to be some stuff that happens in the next 48 hours that you can thank Alex Jones for. And I'll just leave it at that. When I come back, I'll get into the KTLA story of the human trafficking.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, KTLA has just released a bombshell report. Headline: Human trafficking sting across California nets 339 arrests. Rescue of nearly 50 victims, including teens. Now, 2 years ago, there was a similar story out of KTLA. I believe that story mentioned 500 arrests. So there are massive human trafficking stings happening, massive child sex trafficking stings happening. Anybody that follows the War Room knows that I've had guests on the show that have done a lot to fight child sex trafficking. And I can tell you that behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff going on that people probably still won't hear about for some years. But a lot of children are being rescued in these stings. Now, getting into the nuts and bolts of this story, I'm going to just go ahead and pretty much read the whole thing for you. And the crew can follow along with me. And then also, if you guys can find the old KTLA story from a few years ago, almost the same story, let's pull that up too. But here's the story from KTLA. Human trafficking sting across California leads to 339 arrests. 14 minors were among the nearly 50 victims of human trafficking during a sting across California that netted 339 arrests, law enforcement officials said Tuesday. Some of the victims found by law enforcement were as young as 13, while other cases involved children as young as 6. Los Angeles County Sheriff's officials said during a news conference alongside other countries. My God, this is California, ladies and gentlemen. 93 human trafficking task forces and teams from various counties were part of the three-day operation. Among those arrests during Operation Reclaim and Rebuild were pimps who had put victims up for sale and individuals soliciting sex from underage teens, sheriff's officials said. Some of those saved from the underground world of sex trafficking were runaways or victims found through social media and chat sites online. Dramatic stories of rescues and arrests have been shared between law enforcement agencies, L.A. County Sheriff's Assistant Chief Maria Gutierrez told reporters. Naming a few such cases, Gutierrez said an adult man was seen sexually assaulting a 6-year-old child in multiple videos showing graphic child pornography. A 30-year-old suspect was found and arrested within 24 hours of authorities coming across the clips, she said. The suspect was on felony probation and was wanted for another unrelated crime, the assistant chief said. In another case, a 17-year-old girl was lured from a nearby city to Fresno by a man who she met online, Gutierrez said. Believing she was going to have a relationship with him, she also brought her 14-year-old sister to make the move. Upon their arrival, the two teens were forced to work in prostitution under the threat of violence, according to Gutierrez. The man who the older teen had been in contact with was a pimp who then sold the girls to another pimp for $6,000 just days later. In the hours after, law enforcement officials were able to track down both victims and the suspect, officials said. A firearm was found at the suspect's location. The two teens were connected with victim-centered services and taken home. Meanwhile, in Contra Costa County, a 54-year-old man was taken into custody after allegedly sending photos of $100 bills to a 15-year-old boy he was trying to groom and entice into meeting him at a park for sex, Gutierrez said. The teen was actually an undercover decoy who was one of the officers who later arrested the man when he arrived at the park. Gutierrez described the suspect in that case as a dangerous predator who had already been convicted of lewd content offenses in 2003. Law enforcement officials came across another potentially dangerous suspect after an online decoy was used to set up a meeting for sex at an Ontario motel room. Upon entering the motel, the suspect was found with a .45 caliber pistol in his pocket and some meth, Gutierrez said. 7 other firearms, including assault weapons and handguns, were found inside his vehicle. Officials said various tools are used in tracking down victims and suspects in the statewide sex trade, including bots who send texts to those soliciting sex. The 3-day statewide sting took place during January, and it's officially recognized by the federal government as National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month. Some of the advocacy groups who work with victims include Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking and Saving Innocence. The National Human Trafficking Hotline estimates that at least 760 cases were reported in the state of California in 2018. Nationwide, 6,244 cases of sex trafficking were reported in 2017, according to the hotline. Standing alongside other human trafficking investigators from across the state, Gutierrez said, authorities have a message for those working to sell, abuse, and exploit victims. Do not do business in Los Angeles County or the state of California, because we will find you and prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law, she said. The 24-hour national hotline for victims of human trafficking is 888-373-7888. So, again, that story is out of KTLA. Headline, human trafficking sting across California nets 339 arrests. Rescue of nearly 50 victims, including teens. To which I beg the question, where is Adam Schiff? Where is Eric Swalwell? Where is Ted Lieu? Where is Kamala Harris? Where are all of these great congressmen and women from California speaking out against child sex trafficking and child sex abuse? I haven't seen a single statement. Now, what does that tell you about the political leadership in California? Have you heard anything from Gavin Newsom? So you'd think politicians would be banding together to address this clear and present danger to children in California, but you don't hear anything, do you? Total silence from Adam Schiff. Total silence from Eric Swalwell, and I just have to wonder why. And this is not the first time. 2 years ago, KTLA ran a very similar story, a very similar headline, and I believe the number was 500 arrests when they ran the other story. Now, I don't know if the crew found that or not. They're probably banning it from any search engines right now. But folks, this is a serious issue. What do you think happens to all the missing children? They don't just disappear into thin air. What do you think happened to Maddie McCann? So it just begs the question, where are the politicians speaking out against the human trafficking in California? Yes, there is the other story, over 500 arrests made in a human trafficking crackdown in California. That was from a year ago today. Wow. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I beg the question, why the silence from Adam Schiff? Why the silence from Eric Swalwell? Why the silence from the politicians in California on rampant child sex trafficking in their state?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Decoding enemy transmissions
so you get the truth.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the War Room. And, you know, I just got to say that I'm so grateful for the InfoWars audience that makes everything we do here possible. And quite frankly, folks, the extent at which InfoWars works and the extent at which InfoWars makes things happen behind the scenes, the extent of which Alex Jones literally pours everything into this operation, quite frankly, the audience will never understand and probably never comprehend. But I know that you guys out there are praying for us. I can't tell you how much it means. I know that you guys go to InfoWarsStore.com and support us. I can't tell you how much that means. And we continue to deliver for you, and you continue to support us at InfoWarsStore.com. So That pattern and that trend hopefully will never change, even though we know that the Democrats, Robert Mueller, CNN, and the people that hate America and hate Donald Trump want to see Alex Jones destroyed, and they want to see InfoWars destroyed, and everybody involved in InfoWars destroyed. Unfortunately, they have no humanitarianism in their logic, because there are probably almost 100 people that Alex Jones has hired. And, you know, they want to destroy all their lives too, even though their politics might not even align with Alex. Alex just hires good people that work hard. So just thank you so much for your support, InfoWarsStore.com. And I'm telling you, folks, there's just big things that we're working on right now behind the scenes that, you know, maybe some people can understand it. Like when you see the new studios that Alex builds, you see the expansion of InfoWars. But we've got some stuff coming up here before the end of the week that's just going to be massive. And really, the investment that Alex Jones puts into this doesn't get enough credence. But we don't ask for, you know, your credence. We just ask for your support at InfoWarsStore.com. And we ask you to share and spread those links. And to those, including my own mother, suggesting I get some rest, well, I wish I could. But the info war must go on. Now, we just covered a truly horrifying story out of KTLA last segment, but I want to move on and hit some of this other news. And in fact, you know what? I'll just do it, guys. Let's open up the phone lines, and I'm going to squeeze in some callers. Maybe not this segment, but I'll take a couple calls in the last segment. And the callers can kind of let me catch a little break here so I don't have to talk for 10 minutes in the next segment, because literally every ounce of energy I need to just conserve right now. But let's go ahead and open up the phone lines, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. Guys, just shoot me an image whenever we have callers on, and I will just do a news blitz right now through this segment. Shifting stories, cloud claims of alleged hate crime attack targeting Empire actor Jussie Smollett. Well, you know what they say, a lie makes its way around the world before the truth is ever heard. And it looks like that may be the case with this story. But it's not about getting the truth. It's not about trying to protect a victim. It's all about demonizing Trump supporters. It's all about making Trump supporters look bad, trying to claim that Trump supporters are going around assaulting people and all this nonsense. We saw it with the Covington Catholic boys, and it always ends up being fake news. So there's no evidence of any of the claims made by this actor, according to the Chicago police. So we'll see how that story goes. Here's another example of InfoWars being tomorrow's news today. Jennifer Buscemi is the deep fake that should seriously frighten you. Well, yeah, I remember one of the first things that interested and caught my attention when I started at InfoWars was these deepfakes, where you could basically mock up anybody. The original ones that came out some years ago were of George W. Bush and Barack Obama. And you can basically do a video where you think it's Obama. It looks exactly like Obama. It sounds exactly like Obama. But you can put whatever voiceover you want to it and make Obama say whatever you want and then pretend that's Obama, even though it's not. So here's the latest with the deep fake technology. They're calling this Jennifer Buscemi. It's basically Steve Buscemi's face on some blonde woman. And it's good. I mean, this just shows you where this technology is going. So, yeah, it's Jennifer Lawrence body with a Steve Buscemi face. And again, this is something that InfoWars has been covering for years. And, you know, we know how the fake news media works, folks. So don't put it past the fake news media to start using these deep fake videos to try to slander or target anyone. So look what they could do to Alex Jones. They'll erase Alex Jones off the internet. And then some hack at CNN would probably do a deep fake video of Alex Jones saying the most abhorrent things. Of course, it won't be Alex Jones, but they ripped Alex Jones' larynx out and they erased him off the internet, so he's not allowed to defend himself. You see, that's basically what they've already done to Alex. The deep fake level would be just the next and final straw. Two people injured in official government motorcade accident. This is not the first time this has happened. It happened in Springfield, Missouri just a year ago. But it's strange to me how this never seems to make national news. It barely seems to get coverage. when you have these radical Trump protesters putting people's lives in danger, of course, when they think they're battling a Nazi because the media told them that's the case. Well, what do you expect? Two massive stories happening on voter fraud right now out of Texas and Pennsylvania, where it's now come out via the state's government doing research. In Pennsylvania, you had over 100,000 illegal votes registered to vote. And in Texas, you had 95,000 individuals that were non-citizens registered to vote. A big swing state like Pennsylvania, obviously very important. And of course, the Democrats trying to turn Texas blue. You can now see what they're doing. And so when you hear the stories about the Democrats wanting open borders, and you hear the stories about the Democrats not wanting voter ID laws, this is why. And so people will continue to say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory, because they'll say, oh, Hillary Clinton had more votes than Donald Trump. Well, Hillary Clinton probably got at least, let's be conservative, 3 million illegal votes, probably more than that. And we're starting to see the numbers. It came out in Georgia, illegal votes. They tried to hack a voting machine. That was a story in Georgia. It came out in Michigan, a bunch of illegal voters. So this is really happening. It's not some conspiracy theory. And in fact, I think it was the Federalist that did a really good report on that. Vianney Catholic High School teacher retweets horrible call for racist, smug Covington kids to be lit up. So again, this is after it gets exposed how the fake news media demonized and attacked those children, even though they were innocent and behaved, I thought, the most well-mannered in that situation. That didn't stop this deranged teacher from St. John Vianney High School in St. Louis to retweet something that was clearly inappropriate. She has since basically removed her Twitter account, made it private. I'd be surprised if St. John Vianney didn't, well, I won't make any suggestions here, but let's just say I've not lived in St. Louis for 3 years now, but I've actually done a lot of work with St. John Vianney High School. I have a lot of friends that went there. I have a lot of friends that work there. I know a lot of good people there. And I'm not sure if there'll be any action taken against her, but it's too bad to see that. That's a fine institution in St. Louis that's now being dragged through the mud because of one deranged teacher's actions. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Kamala Harris launched her political career in the bedroom as the mistress of the married Mayor Willie Brown. It's just amazing how Kamala Harris can suck and duck her way to the top. And it's fine. Nobody reports on it. It's fine. That's women's empowerment, I guess. So that's what you have there. All right. We're going to come back. I am basically at like 1% battery. Battery's blinking. So I'm going to lean on the callers in the last segment. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. I'll squeeze in a couple calls. Final segment of the War Room on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. I think I'm on air right now. We've got breaking news out of California. Laura Loomer has been arrested at Gavin Newsom's house. I don't understand the problem. Laura just showed up and asked for sanctuary in Gavin Newsom's house. I mean, he turned the whole state into a sanctuary state. So she just wanted some sanctuary at his house. And shockingly, he called the police and had her arrested. Wow. But for the country, no, Gavin Newsom doesn't want that. He wants to have his own private property and he wants to have his own house. But for the rest of the scum in California, according to Gavin Newsom, that's sanctuary. And so criminals and illegals can come here, rob the state dry, kill people. And Gavin Newsom just loves that. So Laura Loomer at it again. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, folks. This is too much. First, she shows up at Nancy Pelosi's palatial mansion, dressed in a hard hat, demanding that she takes the wall down. Now she arrives at Gavin Newsom's house asking for sanctuary and gets arrested. But again, where's Gavin Newsom? Where's Kamala Harris? Where's Nancy Pelosi? Where's Dianne Feinstein? Where's Maxine Waters? Where's Adam Schiff? Where's Eric Swalwell? Where is Ted Lieu? Where are these people in nearly 1,000 arrests made in the last year to stop human and child sex trafficking? Where are the political leaders in California? Of course, we played the video earlier how California has basically turned into a tent city. If you want an example of the separation of wealth, don't look at the Midwest. Don't look at conservative states. Look at California and look at New York. That's where you find the wage gap, the separation of wealth is most prevalent. And it's thanks to people like Gavin Newsom and Maxine Waters who want the state to be sanctuary for criminals and gangbangers and drug dealers. Oh, but not their homes. Go figure. Okay. I promised I'd take calls. Let's do that. Let's go to Cooper in Colorado. Thank you, Cooper.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate everything you guys do. I first kind of got introduced to InfoWars after watching the movie Terror Storm. And that's when I connected all the dots. If I could share for a brief second, I'd like to share what happened to my dad and how I see the exact same thing happening to Donald Trump right now.
Okay.
Essentially, my dad, he was a White House Marine. I served in the Marine Corps. Was a pallbearer at Arlington Cemetery. He's also a member of Mensa, and he's a great person. He was a successful businessman, had a good, honest business, made sure that they were doing everything right by meeting with the Attorney General of Kansas on a monthly basis. One day, the Treasury police showed up, seized $12 million from my dad's company and his personal account, and didn't even know what they were investigating him for. They just knew they didn't want him in business, and they stole his money. 4 years later, they charged him with a conspiracy to defraud the United States. 4 years after that, after being in solitary confinement for 4 years in a federal jail, he went to trial. He was acquitted of about half of the charges that they charged him with. But he was convicted on the conspiracy count, and then they convicted him of sending money from one bank in Kansas to another bank where he had an office in Las Vegas for bank fraud, wire fraud, money laundering for purchasing company assets. And then he was given 4 or 5 year consecutive sentences. He was given a 20-year sentence when he ran a big booming business that the Treasury and the Federal Reserve didn't want people to know about. And overall, that's the detail that I need to share for it to be pertinent. But what I see going on with Trump is the same. It was the Clinton administration that started this, Clinton was president when the seizure happened. But I see these same people that are now completely turning a blind eye to justice, not prosecuting Hillary for gross felonies. And now they're prosecuting Roger.
Well, yes, it's the typical story. It's the typical story. Everybody knows it. Everybody's sick of it. Honestly, it used to be something that was a nonpartisan thing. I mean, the average American was just sick of the double standards of justice, sick of the double standards where, the political elite are allowed to get away with, crimes, while the average American, if they get caught smoking a joint, will face jail time. So, yeah, it's the old story that we used to be able to agree with in America. But now, thanks to the media and all the hate they've drummed up to Donald Trump, the left will just do whatever they're told to take out Donald Trump. And if that means saying that, oh, we love the government now, it's not corrupt, it's only Donald Trump, then that's the, Stockholm syndrome notion that they go with. Thank you so much for the call, Cooper. Let's go to Cole calling in from Kansas. Go ahead, Cole.
Hey, Owen, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I wanted to bring back up the Nick Sandman ordeal. And I want to let us not forget about the poor little African-American 6-year-old girl that was shot and killed by an African-American man. They took that and spun it that it was a white guy that did it. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that, draw comparisons there.
I mean, what more is there to say than they – look, it's not a big deal. Okay, you could report something or say that, you know, you think this is the suspect and you get it wrong. I mean, you can make whatever assumption you want to make about why they assumed this suspect was a white male. It really is irrelevant, I guess. I guess some people would disagree with me on that. But what shocks me is that you can still – in fact, Mindy Robinson did this today. You can go back and still look – at all the original reports and all the original tweets, and they haven't removed any of them. So really that just goes to show you these people don't even care when they report fake news anymore, and they don't even try to erase it anymore. It's really quite shocking, actually. Thanks so much for the call, Cole. Let's go to Joey calling in from New York. Go ahead, Joey.
Hey, Owen. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I wanted to say my thoughts and prayers are with you guys, and I think it's ridiculous what they're doing to Roger Stone. I've been following for you guys for about 2 years now, and I think what you guys are doing is amazing.
Well, thank you, Joey, and you know, it's your support at InfoWarsStore.com that keeps us humming in the midst of all the censorship. So thank you for the kind words. Anything else?
I just popped the brain force for you guys.
Man, I wish that I had the foresight to bring my brain force and my turbo force and my bodies and my super male vitality and my colloidal silver and my pollen block on the road with me, because I could use every single one of those supplements right now from InfoWarsStore.com. And people that listen regularly probably notice the different energy and change in my voice, especially if you're my mother. But look, we're going to keep fighting. Wild horses couldn't drag us away. And you just continue to support us at InfoWarsStore.com. People continue to come up and shake my hand, tell me they're praying for me. So I'm just going to continue to pay it forward. Thanks so much, Joey. I got to jump. Final caller. Let's go to Brad Chadford, one of the favorite callers, I could say, of the show. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, Owen. I'm glad to talk to you, man. Hey, first of all, I'm really glad that you press charges, and I'm not joking. I'm serious about this, because people shouldn't be able to sexually assault anybody, you know, in any city and right in front of the police and get away with it. So I think you're doing a service to just about everybody with that. So,
yeah, you'd think that all men would want to have my back on this,
people,
but
man,
you know,
yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Well, it's.
Sure. What I wanted to talk about, though, was you guys had when Rob was hosting earlier, you had Rob Barnes on, who looks exactly like Rob Reiner. And I just wanted to say that I think he's correct in suing Ray Zaslan for I guess he said they had punchable faces, the Covington kids, you know, and I know you went to Catholic school. So did I. So I think we kind of agree with each other on this, that those kids were wrongly, you know, accused of something they clearly didn't do. So I, you know, as a liberal, I want you to know that I agree with you on that. But I kind of have a little bit of an issue with the idea that InfoWars is going after these guys.
Well, unfortunately, Brad, you're going to have to take that issue and get a tissue, because that's the end of the broadcast. But I'm sure you'll be talking about it on your YouTube channel. Thanks for calling. All right, guys, that does it for the War Room today. As always, you stay classy, InfoWars. Stay tuned to InfoWars.com.